second day session here.
Yesterday we were discussing
on the topic of soul. I'm sure you might be having a lot of questions after you went through the notes and also after you saw the slideshow. As I told you that today we will be discussing on the law of karma. Of course, we will be completing. Yesterday we could not complete the topic. We will be completing the topic and then we will be discussing on the law of karma today. Tomorrow we will discuss why do bad things happen to good people or why do good things happen to bad people. And then we will have question answer. So whatever questions you have, you may write down. Today also we will have some time, but tomorrow 1 hour will be only for question answers. So whatever questions are coming to your mind, kindly write them down and then we can discuss. So as we were discussing yesterday, we stopped here just before this slide. We were sorry, can you just adjust it? Yeah. We were discussing about the energies of the Lord and then we discussed about how the soul is different from the God. So we should understand that actually we are not God. We are gods. Why this is important for us to understand is many times there are people who will, under the name of spirituality, teach you certain things, teach you some exercises, tell you to do some kind of meditation by which you can become God. So that is why this very important point we should understand that we are not God. No one can become God. God is God. We cannot say that by performing austerity, by performing some tapasya, by performing some meditation, or by cultivating knowledge, one can become God. This is not possible. Because God is God. He is the one who creates everything. He is the one from whom everything emanates. As explained in Bhagavad Gita, Aham sarvasya prabhavo mattah sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samanvitaha. Lord Krishna says that I am the source of everything, whether it is material or spiritual. And we, in our position, as Krishna explains in 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Mamai Vancho Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatanaha, that we are parts and parcel of Krishna. So part can never become whole. So we are always the part and we are gods. God apostrophe S. Gods. We are not God. Kindly remember this statement always. Now let's see what is the difference between God and us or the soul. God is Param Atma, Supreme Soul. We are Atma, individual soul. He is also a soul, but he is the Supreme Soul. There is no one beyond him. Then we are Anu, we are very small, whereas Lord is Vibhu. He is infinite. We are conscious of our own individuality. Like, we may be conscious of what is happening in our body, but we are not conscious of what is happening in someone else's body. But the Lord, He is supremely conscious. He knows everything. He is conscious of what is happening in your body, what is happening in my body, and what is happening in each individual's body. And that is why he is God. And the position of God is, he is eternally our master and we are his servant. It is very difficult for us to accept this fact. If someone tells you, you are a servant, you feel very bad. You feel humiliated. Somebody has insulted you. How can you call me a servant? But if we see in one sense, all of us are serving someone or another. So we are always serving someone or other. As we explained yesterday also, that even if someone is the president of America, or if someone is president of India, or a very big businessman, whoever he is, he has to serve. So similarly, all the living entities are serving someone or other. It is only the Lord who is being served. This is the difference between the Paramatma, Supreme Soul, and the Atma, the Soul. Let's try to understand the concept of Paramatma, or the form of the God which is in our heart. Bhagavad Gita explains to us that Lord is situated in everyone's heart. Ishvara sarva bhutanam hridayesh arjuna tishtati. Krishna says that Lord is seated in everyone's heart. And what is he doing? He is sitting and by his shakti maya brahmayan sarva bhutani yantra rudani mayaya. By the power of his energy, by his maya potency, illusory potency, what is he doing? Brahmayan sarva bhutani. He is taking all the living entities for a ride in a very nice vehicle. Yantra rudhani mayaya. There is a yantra, there is a vehicle, and in which we are going around and around, and it is being run by illusory potency of the Lord, maya. And that is why, let's try to understand what is the role of Paramatma, Supreme Soul. As said, Krishna explains that Ishvara sarva bhutanam hridayesh arjuna tishtati. Just lower them down. Very little. In the scriptures, it is explained that there are two birds sitting on a tree. This tree is the body. And these two birds, what are they doing? One of the bird, you can see in this picture very clearly, the bird on the left hand side, he is eating the fruits. And the bird on your right hand side, he is just watching, overseeing the activities of this bird who is eating. This is the role of Paramatma who is seated in our heart. Upadrishta anumanta cha bharta bhokta maheshwarah. Bhagavad Gita explains that the role of Paramatma, Supreme Soul, is he is upadrishta, he oversees everything. Upadrishta anumanta cha, and he gives permission for everything. Say you desire something. You want to take indica car. You have a desire. Then as soon as you desire, Paramatma in your heart will see whether as per your previous karmas, are you entitled to get in this indica? If he says no, this living entity is not entitled for indica, he is entitled only for a two-wheeler, so then you will get a two-wheeler. That is why he is anumanta, he gives permission. But if he says yes, you are entitled for indica, you will get indica. We will understand this topic in detail when we discuss about karma. So this is the position. One is the soul who is performing the activities, and another is the supreme soul who is watching. He is always with us. Suhrida sarva bhutanam. He is a friend, he is a well-wisher for everyone. You see how wonderful it is. When we were in the body of an animal, Lord was with us. When we were in the body of a bird, Lord was with us. When we were in the body of an insect, Lord was with us. And now we are in the body of a human, Lord is with us. And that is why he is Suhrid Sarvabhutana. He is the well-wisher. He is the only friend of the living entity. Friend in need is a friend indeed. And who helps us in need? Only the Lord who is seated in our heart. That is why he is the supreme well-wisher and friend for all living entities. And what happens to these living entities? The soul, as we understood yesterday, keeps passing from one body to another. You can see here reptiles, you can see insects, you can see birds, you can see mammals and humans. So in this way, the soul keep traveling in different bodies. All of us have traveled in different bodies. Sometime in the past, we may have occupied a body of an animal or of an insect or bird, and now we are occupying this body. So soul keeps traveling in different bodies. Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita this concept, and this is a very strong proof that soul is distinct from the body, and we are not the body, we are soul. Krishna says, Dehino smin yatha dehe kaumaram yovanam jara tatha dehantara praptir dhirastatra namuhyati. He says that as in this life we see that we keep changing our body from childhood to youth and then from youth to old age, similarly at the end it leaves the body, soul leaves the body and takes another body, dehantara, and this is the concept of transmigration of soul or reincarnation or rebirth of soul. Actually, as we explained yesterday, soul does not have birth. Ajopi sannavyayatma, ajo does not take birth, but it changes body, and this is the concept of reincarnation or transmigration of the soul. Let's try to understand with another example which is explained in Bhagavad Gita. It says that vasansi jinani yatha vihaya. This picture which you are seeing, you can see a picture where it is being split in two parts like a zip being opened. So as we change our clothes, vasansi jinani yatha vihaya navani grahanati naroparani. Similarly, humans change the body, soul change the body, keeps changing the bodies from one body to another body. Here you see from childhood to youth, youth to old age, and then old age to again a different body, and then the same cycle. Like we change our clothes. When you are in the office, you have some different clothes, and when you come back home, immediately you change your clothes. Changing of the clothes does not mean the person has changed. In the office, he may be a director, people may call him sir. And in the office, when he leaves the office, when he comes home, he may be Mr. Sharma, or the wife may call him, for wife he is husband, children may call him daddy, or nowadays of course people call dad. I don't know why this concept of dad is there. It looks like as if you're calling your father as dad. Many times I heard people saying like that, oh dad, you know, why are you saying he's dead? He's alive, standing in front of you. Earlier there was such a nice system, Vedic system. They never used to call dad or pop, but now it has come. So what we should do is, we should at least give some respect to our parents who have given us everything. Is this respect when we say our father, hi Bob, how are you? And this is happening. I don't know how many of you do it, but at least in major cities of India and all over the Western world, it is happening. Western worlds, it is worse. The young child will call his father by name. Hey Robin, come here. As if he is his servant. Here at least they call him Pop or Dad. Oh sorry, Dad. So when he comes home for the children, he is father. But the person is same. Whether you call him a father, you call him husband, you call him sir, you call him director, person is same. But he is changing the clothes. Similarly, the soul keeps moving from one body to another body. And this material world is like a warehouse. Do you know what is a warehouse? Where you get lot of things. So it is like a store where you get different dresses. And you can buy any dress you want. As you enter in a shop, you can buy whatever you like. Like here you are seeing some shirts. Whichever shirt you like, you can buy. These are different bodies for the soul. But then if you go to a store, you like a shirt and you see that shirt and you want to purchase it, but you don't have money for it, what will happen? Will you be able to buy that? No. Similarly, the soul wants to take different bodies, but for that it has to pay. There is a price. And what is that price? That is our karma. As per our karma, we can take different bodies, we can buy different shirts, or we can put ourselves, place ourselves in different positions. That is why we see that many are born in opulence and good upbringing. The same soul, but they are very nice, very happy, but some are blind, they can never see. We have seen cases like that. Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita that yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tejatyante kalevaram. At the end of the life, when you are leaving your body, at that time whatever consciousness you have developed, similar kind of body you will get. Very important. I will repeat. At the time of death, whatever kind of consciousness the living entity develops, similar kind of body one gets. We will see how in the coming session, which is on karma. So that is why in the end of the session of the soul, let's see, let's understand or be firm, have full faith in these words of the scriptures, that soul belongs to the spiritual world. Here you can see two pictures below, the razzle dazzle of the material world, and above you can see the spiritual world, which is eternal, full of happiness. And soul, the nature of the soul is Sat, Chit and Ananda. Soul is eternal, soul is full of knowledge, and soul is always blissful. Sometimes people misunderstand this word. They feel Satchidananda is used only for some demigod or for some very highly elevated person. But actually the original position of soul is Satchidananda, Sat, Chit and Ananda. Soul is eternal, soul is blissful, and soul is full of knowledge. In this position we have forgotten, we have covered our knowledge, and that is a reason that we are not able to understand all these things. Otherwise, all of you know these things. As souls, all of you understand these points which we are trying to explain to you. Because in this condition, our consciousness is covered, we are not able to recollect these things which are being shown to you. As sometimes in the movies, you see, a person is very nicely living his life, suddenly he meets with an accident, and then he starts saying, "Oh, I don't know, main kahan hoon? Where am I?" He forgets his name, he forgets his identity, and then he is living in some place, and suddenly after some time he meets with another accident, and then he regains his memory. "Oh, I am so and so person." Our position is also like that. Due to an accident that is coming to this material world, we have forgotten our original position. Can you imagine the position of a person who doesn't even know who is he? What is he doing? Suppose it happens with you. Now you know, "I am Rahul, I am Vijay, I am this, I am so on. My father is this, my mother is this, I am doing this, I am staying here." Suddenly you lose all your memory. You are staying here, but you don't know who you are, who is your father, who is your mother, where were you staying, nothing you know. Will you ever be happy? Will you feel, "Yes, I am the happiest person on this earth"? You'll never be happy. Similarly, the soul, the living entity, all of us, we have forgotten our real identity. We have forgotten the spiritual world. We have forgotten our parents. And we are here. And we are thinking that we are happy. But real happiness will come. Real happiness is the happiness which remains forever. And that will come when we go back home, back to Godhead, when we join the spiritual world, when we regain our original position, when we understand that we are not this body, we are soul. So this was the session which we did yesterday. And now, after understanding that we are soul, there is a question. Soul is everywhere, as explained in Bhagavad Gita. Then why there is so much suffering? Why there is so much difference? And as explained, Krishna is the Supreme Father. He loves all of us. Then why is He not taking care of us? Why is He putting us in misery? Yesterday somebody asked this question. Why we are forced to take this body? Why we are put into this body? Let's try to understand this one question by understanding the law of material nature, in general terms, law of karma. Karma. Today we will discuss on that. Do you have any questions? You want that we should stop here for some questions on the first day, or we will have questions at 8:30? What do you want? 8:30? We'll go on till 8:30, and then at 8:30 we will stop. We will have question answers, and then of course kirtan and prasadam. So law of karma. Here you can see a very important word for all of us. Karma means activity. The kind of activity you perform, the same kind of result you will get. And we should be very careful in performing our karma. This is the only thing which we carry with us even after our death. There is nothing in this material world which you can carry with you after your death. Your money you cannot carry. In your life you may make crores of rupees. You may have 10-20 bungalows. You may have big factories, but at the time of death, you will not take anything. There is a wonderful story. I will tell you. There was once a king. He was very much attached to his possessions, very attached. So there was one saintly person who came to his kingdom, and he saw that this king is very much attached to his possessions. So he wanted to explain to him that when you will die, you will leave all these things here. Why are you so attached? But if he would have said directly, king would not have understood. So then one day he went to him and he said, "Oh my dear king, I am very happy to come to your palace." And king was also very happy. He welcomed him. This was the tradition earlier. Saintly persons were welcomed in the house and they were treated very nicely, given lot of respect, because that's how there was purification in our heart. Our heart is contaminated. So king invited him, and then the saintly person started speaking to him. He said, "Oh my king, I am seeing your death." King was scared. He said, "What are you talking?" King was thinking, "Oh, just now I gave a lot of respect to him. I gave so many nice things to eat, and he's telling me he's seeing my death." He said, no, "I'm seeing your death." King was scared. He's saying, but what? He's saying, "I also see that after your death, you will go to heaven and you will enjoy." So king was very happy. King was thinking, "Yes, I will go to heaven. I will enjoy. There are so many nice things to do. You know what is there in heaven? Scriptures informs us that in heaven there are rivers of wine. Here if you have to drink, you have to go to a shop, pay money, and then hide yourself so that others should not see, and then drink, and then after that eat some chocolate or pan or something so that smell should not come, and then go and sit next to your friend and behave as if nothing has happened. But there in heaven, there is a river of that. You know, as much as you want, just jump into it and then you will be intoxicated. Then there are apsaras, damsels, beautiful apsaras. It is said that the beauty of the servants of apsaras is compared to the most beautiful girl in this universe, she will be nothing in front of her. That means even the servants of those maid servants of the apsaras are 1,000 times or maybe much, much more beautiful than the most beautiful girl in this universe. You would like to go to heaven? See, such nice things are there. What we want, then what else we want? So be careful. I will tell you what happens if you go to heaven later. So this king was thinking, "Oh, I'll go to heaven, I'll enjoy. So I don't mind dying." Then this saintly person said, "But." He said, "But what?" He said, "But I see that there are big, big mosquitoes in heaven." He said, "Mosquitoes in heaven?" He said, "Yes." He said, "Oh, then I'll not be able to sleep properly, and if I'm not able to sleep properly, I will not be able to enjoy properly." Isn't it a fact? Suppose you don't sleep properly, you cannot do any other work properly. You cannot read properly, you cannot concentrate properly, because you need a proper sleep. Every one of us needs proper sleep. He said, "But I have a solution." He said, "What is the solution?" The saintly person said, "I'm seeing a solution also." Said, "What?" He's saying, "You can use a mosquito net there. There is a mosquito net available for you." So king was very happy. King said, "Oh wow, throughout the day I will enjoy, and then in the end, in the night, although there are mosquitoes, I will sleep in the mosquito net and I will not be disturbed, have a nice sleep, and next day again enjoy." Then the saintly person said, "But." He said, "But what?" He said, "I am seeing that there are very big holes in the mosquito net. So when you will sleep, through these holes, mosquitoes will come inside and will bite you and will trouble you. So then this king was saying, thinking, oh, what to do? Saintly person said, I can't find any solution for this. You try to find. And then king started thinking. And then he came to a solution. And he said, yes, I've got the solution. Oh, saintly person said, you got the solution. He said, yes, what is it? He said, I will stitch my mosquito net with needle and thread. Saintly person said, in heaven needle and thread is not available. King said, no problem, I will carry it with me from here. And then the saintly person said, oh fool, you're such a big fool. Can you carry a needle with you when you die? And then the king realized, oh my God, I am attached to so many things here. But in the end, I can't even carry a needle with me. Such a small thing. Then what is the use? And then he understood that this all story what sage was telling him was just to explain to him this one fact, that at the end, we don't carry anything, but we carry this thing, karma. This is the only thing which goes with us. And how and why, we will understand in this session today. Karma, it is like a seed. There is a saying in English, as you sow, so shall you reap. You can see here in this picture, a person is putting some seeds and then cultivation is going on and finally they can get some fruits. So as you sow, so shall you reap. So this is our karma. The kind of activity we perform, similar kind of result we will get. As I was explaining to you just before we begin this session, that Dehino Smin Yatha Dehe, soul keeps changing the body in this life, in the youth and then into the old age and then finally dies. This theory is applicable to everyone. It is not a Hindu idea. Sometimes people say that this concept of reincarnation is a Hindu ideology. No. This is a universal law as law of karma. Say for example, law of gravity. Can you say that law of gravity is applicable only to Hindus? Muslims are not having this law. They are not affected by this law. Law of gravity is universal for everyone. Similarly, this law is also applicable to everyone. It is not a Hindu idea. If you are an Indian, if you are an American, you are a Hindu, you are a Muslim, whoever you are, you will be under the law of karma. You will be under the law of material nature. These are our designations. If I call myself Indian, I call myself Hindu, I call myself a Muslim, I call myself a Christian. These are all designations of the body. But we have seen yesterday, body leaves, soul remains. This is not a designation for the soul. Today I am in an Indian body, tomorrow I may be in an American body. Or as I explained just before we begin this session, yam yam vapi smaran bhavam. At the time of death, whatever consciousness you develop, similar kind of body you will get. So suppose there is a soldier who is fighting for India, saying that I am going to kill a Pakistani, I am going to kill a Pakistani, and at that time he dies. He is thinking only about a Pakistani soldier. In his next life, he will become a Pakistani soldier. And then he will say, I want to kill Indians. So that is why these are all designation to the body. These are all not the designation for the soul. And this soul keeps traveling, keeps transmigrating, and we are always taking one body, then another, then different bodies, then again we die. and this goes on, and this is called the samsara chakra, the wheel of samsara. This is samsara. Take one body, your body will grow for certain time, and then it will remain like this, and then it will dwindle, and then finally you will die. Then again a body. So this goes on. That is why it is a chakra, samsara chakra, like a ferry wheel. You see, when there are some fun fairs or something, you see the giant wheel comes. People enjoy sitting in that. What happens? Sometimes they are up, sometimes they are down. Then up, then down. So like this, the samsara wheels take you from one body to another body, but you go on changing the body. This is actually the samsara chakra. But in this samsara chakra, if the soul is there, as I said, the question is, why the God is partial? Why is He not keeping us happy? Why has He put us in misery? Why is He giving us trouble? So let's try to understand, is it the Lord who is giving us the trouble, or is it we who are inviting troubles? We live in a world where all of us are unique. You see, so many different kinds of living entities having different bodies. So all of us are in a unique position. We have some unique features. Let's try to see some of them. All of us, we know all these things. Just to refresh your memory, I am giving you these examples. That some are born fabulously rich, say in the family of Tatas and Birlas or Ford, or big people. As in the English it says, they're born with a silver spoon. But we also see at the same time that some are born very poor, wretchedly poor. You see this photograph? Throughout the life, they will have to struggle just to eat two times meal. Such a poor condition. At the same time, we see that some are born very handsome, beautiful. Of course, people fall for that. Everyone wants to see some beautiful body. Miss Beautiful or Miss World or Miss whatever. In this Miss Universe and Miss World and Miss India and Miss Asia, we go on missing our life. In whole our life, we just do this thing, Miss India, you've missed India, okay. Then Miss Asia, you've missed Asia. Then you go for Miss Universe, you've missed Universe. And again, you'll have to come back to another party. So we are very happy to see somebody who is very beautiful. But when you see someone ugly, you don't like. See this person, if he comes in front of you, you do not like to see. But if some beautiful person is in front of you, you'll always, you'll stare. See, this is the difference. I'll tell you what is the beauty. Is the beauty in the soul, or beauty is in the body? We get attracted by the beauty of the body. We should get attracted by the beauty of the soul. I had seen this in front of my own eyes. I was standing in a road, and there were two girls. They were on this bike, Kinetic or something like that, and they were very beautiful. So it is obvious it was in front of a college. So it was obvious that two beautiful girls going on the bike, what the boys will do. I could see the boys were staring at them. Like they say, I could not take my eyes off them, like that. And I was watching them, these boys, they were just staring. And suddenly, as they passed, as soon as they came on the road, they met with an accident. There was a truck coming with a very high speed, and they met with an accident, and on the spot, they died. And at that stage, when I was looking at these people, nobody was ready to look at that body. Same girls. Just 2 minutes back, everyone was staring at them, as if I don't know what they would like to do. But after 5 minutes, when the soul left the body, they were dead. no one wanted to even go near to that body. Why? These are the same bodies. If you are attracted to the body, you should be attracted to a dead body also. Go and embrace a dead body. Try to love a dead body. Have you tried any time? Or have you even thought? Suppose you see a dead body lying. Will you see, okay, I'll go and embrace this dead body. I'll try to love this dead body. No. Why? Because soul has left that body. The real person has left the body. And that is why that body is useless. We don't even want to look at a dead body. What to talk of loving or embracing or exchanging the feelings with the dead body. So this is why we don't want to look at a person who is very ugly, because we are seeing on the body level. Some are born very healthy and strong. Everyone, especially the youth, wants to be in this condition. That they should, they want their muscles to be built. I know one person, he was in a village and he was a nice devotee. He was in a village and his duty was to milk the cows. Have you ever seen someone milking the cows? How do they do it? Like, can you see me? So like this they do it. Now this person was so much attached to his body, or he wanted to have a nice body, that when he used to do like this, he used to look at his arms, you know, whether he has good biceps or triceps or I don't know how many sips. Then he used to do like this, my body is building, by milking the cows. He used to milk the cow, and instead of looking at the milk, he used to look at his shoulders or his arms. So everyone wants to be, but some are born like that. They are very healthy and they are very strong. But at the same time, we also see that some are born very weak or handicapped. So these are the differences we see in this material world. Some are born very poor, but some will be, as I said, born with a silver spoon. They will never have any problems in their life. So then the question comes, why God is partial to one person, some persons, and he is not favoring some other? Why is he partial to some? Don't you think this is partiality? What God is doing, he is putting one person in a very nice family, very rich family, and another person he is putting in a very poor family. If you say that Lord loves everyone, God is the father for everyone, as explained in Bhagavad Gita, he says that Aham Bij Prada Pita. Very nicely Krishna explains that he is our eternal father. He says that Sarva Bhutani Kaunteya Murtaya Sambhavanti Cha Tasam Brahma Mahat Yonir Aham Bij Prada Pita. He says that all these different bodies which you are seeing, Arjuna, these are possible because of me, because I am the seed-giving father. So if Krishna is the seed-giving father, he is eternal father, he loves us, why this partiality? Then all should be born on the same level. All should enjoy the same facility. Then we can say, yes, God is impartial. But here we see, by so many examples, it looks like God is partial. So let's try to answer this question. But before we go to this question, another question is there. And it is also very confusing, that why do innocent children get killed? Suppose some elderly children, some elderly persons are getting killed, we can understand. They have performed so many bad activities. They must have cheated someone. They must have committed some sinful activities. But why children? What have they done? They are just born. But we see in so many incidents that children die. You see here so many pictures you can see of how children die. Whether it is Palestine or it is Iraq or it is Gujarat. So many places, earthquakes, wars. We see the children die. Such small children. See this picture. What sinful activity this child has performed. He did not even live few years to perform some activity, still he has to die. And such a heinous activity. So why is it happening? Why God is punishing? So he is so unkind. Very important question. Earlier we were saying that God is partial. Now we can also say that God is unkind. He's so cruel. So cruel. He's not merciful. You see, we leave, you know, when whomever we love, sometimes they leave their body, they die. And that time we blame the God. In Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a very wonderful narration I would like to share with all of you. There is a story of a person, a king, who had many wives. Earlier it was a system, kings used to keep many wives. But he had no children. And he was always in misery because after me who will run my kingdom? So then once a very saintly person came to his house and he asked him, what do you want? He said, I have only one desire. I want to have a son. This king got attached to his wife who delivered this son. Although he had many other wives, but then he was spending all his time with this wife. It is obvious. After many, many, many years, he got a son through one wife. He got attached to that wife. So all other wives, they were feeling jealous. They were thinking that this king, our husband, is attached only to one wife. So then they thought that we should do something. And then what did they do? They put the poison in the milk which was to be given to the child. And this poisoned milk was given to the child. As soon as child took this milk, he left his body. He died. So then at that time, this queen, she started blaming the Lord. What was she doing? What was she saying? That, oh my Lord, everyone says that you are the Lord of the universe, but I am telling you that you don't even know how to run this world. You don't know that when the father is alive, son should not die. Who made this rule? You don't even know how to make the rules of this world. You don't know how to run the world. You are very cruel. She started blaming. Of course, this story goes further. We are not discussing that point. So, I was just trying to explain that people start blaming the Lord, that he is so cruel. And we also can understand, as we saw the earlier example of the child being killed. So then people may argue that God cannot be all-powerful and all-merciful simultaneously. What does this mean? It means that if God is all-merciful, he may not be all-powerful. We say generally that God is merciful, God is powerful. But if he is powerful or if he is merciful, he is not powerful. The reason is that if he is powerful, then why is he incapable of removing our sufferings? Since he is showing his incapability, that means he is not powerful. Or in other way, suppose he is powerful, if we take it like that. If God is powerful, then he is not merciful. If he would have been merciful, why will we see all these sufferings around us? So many people are suffering. You can see this child. Can you imagine how will this child live throughout the life? Is it the mercy? So that means either he is not powerful or he is not merciful. People argue like that. But do you think it is correct? Let's try to understand. Because scriptures informs us that God is the supreme well-wisher and supreme powerful. He is merciful. So how is it possible? Why this discrimination which God is doing? Let's try to understand that, is He doing discrimination or we are the ones who are responsible for that? You see, there is a court here in this picture. In a court where everything is decided by a law, judge may give someone a punishment. He may award rigorous imprisonment to one person. But at the same time, he may give compensation of lakhs of rupees to another person. So what will you say? Is he partial in the judgment? Or why is the judge giving different judgment? He should give same judgment for everyone. He should give everyone lot of rupees. But he doesn't do it. What is the reason? Because the kind of activities the two have performed, that kind of the results they get. Similarly, the kind of activities a jiva, a living entity performs, that kind of results he gets. Lord has got nothing to do with that. Lord has given a rule. He is impartial. He is same for everyone. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that whatever sufferings or happiness you are getting, it is due to your karmana. Karma. Karmana daivanetrena jantur dehupatyaya sriya praveshata udaram pumsuretaha kanashraya. He says that whatever is happening under the supervision of the Supreme Lord and according to the result of His work, the living entity is given a particular type of body. So if you are born in a rich family, you are born in a poor family, you are born with a good health, you are born with you are born blind or whatever, or you are beautiful, you are ugly, this is all karmana daiva netrena, due to our own karma, what we have performed in our previous lives. As Newton's third law states that every action has equal and opposite reaction. That means every action we perform, we get reaction. This is the second one on the same slide. Okay. In Bhagavad Gita also Krishna explains that samoham sarva bhuteshu name dveshasti na priyaha. I am equal to all. All are same for me. Name dveshasti, I don't envy anyone. Nor I am very dear, or nor people are dear to me. So that means he is equal. When he is saying like that, so why we are getting different bodies? Why do we travel in different bodies? This is due to our own karma. We have to take different bodies. There are 84 lakh different species. In Padma Puran, it is very nicely explained that how many kinds, here you are seeing so many species. Try to see, there are aquatics, there are mammals, there are so many different. So Padma Puran explains, Jalaja Nava Lakshani Sthavara Laksha Vimshati, that Jalaja, aquatics, are Nava Lakshani. There are 9 lakh different kinds of species in aquatics. Sthavara means trees and all, which cannot move. So sthavara is 20 lakhs. And kramaya means insects, rudra sankhakaha, they are 11 lakhs. We have given all these figures in the notes which we are providing you for today. So later you may go through this. But try to understand that there are 84 lakhs different kinds of species. So 9 lakhs are aquatics, 20 lakhs are trees, insects are 11 lakhs, and then there are Pashvaha, that are Dashalakshani, 10 lakh kinds of things, and then, birds are 10 lakhs, and animals are 30 lakhs different kinds of species, and then there are humans, which are only 4 lakhs. So this totals to 84 lakh of species, out of which humans are only 4 lakh. Now what does this mean? Not that 4 lakh different kinds of faces, 4 lakh different kinds of bodies. There are 4 lakh different kinds of consciousness from one level to another. This we will discuss later. So soul keeps moving from lower species to higher species, from one species to another species till it comes to human body. And in human body it performs some action which again takes them either to the lower body or to the higher place. So human body is a junction where you can perform your activity. No other place is a junction. If you are performing some action in the body of an animal, you won't be able to elevate yourself or go down. There is no karma there. But in human body, there is the result of karma. So that is why it is a very important junction. This is a very, very important step, very, very important stage for any living entity. In Bhagavatam, it is explained that this human body is a very strong boat. If you take it nicely, you can cross over this ocean of material existence. Very beautiful verse explains like that. Nradehamadyam sulabham sudurlabham plavam sukalpam guru karnadharam mayanukulena nabhasvateritam puman bhavadhin nataretsa atmaha. It explains that this body, nradeham, adyam, sulabham, sudurlabham, it is very easy to achieve, because after you cross over 80 lakh species, you will come to this body, but it is rare. Sudurlabham. And it is like a strong boat, plavam sukalpam, where you have a captain as your guru, and the scriptures are favorable winds which are taking this boat. And then in the end it informs very nice verse which is spoken by Lord Krishna himself. In the last line he says, Puman bhavad bhim nataretsa atmaha. The person who does not cross over this material existence, this ocean, by using this body, he is Atmaha. He is the killer of the soul. He is killing the soul. And one who kills the soul, he has to go to hell. And we will see this, how it happens in different bodies, how we can perform. So in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explained that life is everywhere, Atma, Sarvagata. So here we see different species, humans are there, demigods are there, animals are there, aquatics are there. Soul is everywhere. It's Sarvagata. Even in the fire, few years back, scientists found out about a bacteria called fire bacteria, which can stay alive even in the fire. So when people used to say that there can be no life in the sun because it is just hot ball of fire, now this finding has proved that there can be life. Because when the fire bacteria can live, why not in the sun? And when Krishna says there is life everywhere, that means including the sun and the moon. Life is everywhere, and that we have to understand. But moon, as we understand, is very higher planet. It is not achieved just by our technological advancement. It is achieved by people who have performed punya. Krishna explains this. Prapya punya kritam lokan ushitva shashvata samaha. That when you perform pious activities, then you go to moon. You cannot go by your technological advancement. That is what is the understanding from the scriptures. So 84 lakh different varieties of dresses, as we explained to you earlier also, are available for us. Vasansi jinani yatha vihaya navani grahnati naroparani. And each species has some specific qualities. Like, if you think of an elephant, it has a quality of eating. An elephant can eat a lot. Don't ever try to keep an elephant in your house. He will become a pauper if you want to feed him once. So elephant can eat a lot. An ant, small ant, what is the speciality of the ant? Who can tell me? Any of you can tell me? Huh? It works hard? Yes, what else? Works in group. Humans don't work in group. There is a very special quality of the ant that it can take a load 400 times more than its own weight, which is not possible for anyone. Suppose your weight is 50 kgs, then 400 times 50 kg, can you lift it? But ant can do it. That's a special quality. What is the special quality of a snake? Snake has a special quality that if you are sitting here and snake is at the end of the room and you make some sound here, snake will recognize that immediately. That's his quality. What is the quality of an eagle?
Vision.
Huh? Vision, yes. Eagle can see from a height if there is a dead body or a piece of a dead body. It's flying very high, but from there it will see and come down. Similarly, humans also have a speciality. And what is a speciality? Dharmo hitesham adhiko visheshu dharmena hina pashubhi samana. Religion, God realization, realizing about ourselves is the speciality of the humans. And this speciality is given to us by the Lord and we should utilize it. Try to realize, try to know about ourselves. Try to know about God. This is only possible in human life. What we do in our colleges, we try to know so many things. We try to enjoy. Somebody tells you, come, we'll go to ISKCON. There is a lecture about self-realization. You say, oh, what a boring thing. Let's go to a rock show. Let's go here, let's go there, let's go for a movie. 2 years back, in Bombay, there is one incident which happened. There was one boy, very young boy, who was coming to the temple. He just started coming. And then during one festival, you know, here also they celebrate this Navratra festival, where they play dandiya, you know. So one person takes one, two dandis in the hand, another person takes and then they start hitting each other, they feel we are enjoying. I know nowadays it has got more perverted version, which I see here in Millennium Garden. If during that time you go to Millennium Garden, you cannot imagine whether it is a dandiya show or a rock show or a, I don't know what kind of show, because you will see all the boys dressed up in very nice, you know, finest clothes. Iron properly. Otherwise, I have never seen boys ironing their clothes, you know. At least the hostel boys. I'm sorry, you may be doing it, but most of the hostel boys I've seen, they'll wear the shirt and in the night they will hang it. Next day again they will wear it. And when we were in college, we used to have competition that who will be the one who will not wash his jeans for 1 month or 2 months or 3 months, you know, like that. I'm not joking. This was our competition there. I was also in that competition. So we used to have a competition, you know, jeans are not supposed to be washed every day. So some will wash after 7 days, some after 1 month, and one person will come and say with the pride, for last 2 months I have not washed my jeans. Some will not wash unless the other person sitting next to it will say, please, now you are stinking, go and wash your clothes. Till that time you will not wash. But here in this dandiya, we will see finest clothes ironed properly with scent and all, perfume, one man show or whatever is there, I don't know, because I don't use it, so I don't know how many are there. And girls, my God, looks like as if they are going to get married today itself. So, so in their best clothes, with all decoration, I won't say makeup, it's all decoration to the body, finest makeup with, I don't know, otherwise if you'll see them, you won't look, you won't even feel like looking at them. But this day, with all this makeup and jewelry and dresses, they look like they're coming down from the heaven. Because they also feel that, you know, at least boys should look at us, and boys feel the girls should look at us. So then they dress properly, these days properly, not properly, I'll not use the word properly, exorbitantly, and then they will come. And this Millennium Garden will provide a very nice platform for them, and they will come, and throughout the night up to 12 o'clock or 1 o'clock, they will try to hit each other or whatever, I don't know what they do in Dandiya. Earlier the Garba system, the folk tradition of Gujarat was Garba, which has taken this version now. So Garba was to please one demigoddess, Durga. They used to have Durga in between, and then they used Amba or Durga, whatever you say. And then they used to go around dancing for the pleasure of that demigod, goddess. But now, here in Millennium Garden, what kind of Amba you see? There is the stage and there is a big rock band here with all drum set and trumpet and guitar and what or what not. And then once they start singing, you can only hear the music. Even in our temple, we can't even sleep that night, you know, when this Garba goes on. There's such a heavy music. I don't know how many thousands of watt music. They advertise that, you know. How many they advertise? 1,000 watt of music and this and that, and people go there just to blow off their ears. And then they go there and then they start playing, and after that they do what they do, I'm not sure, so I'll not speak on that. So then like this, this is over, tradition is over. So finest dress they wear, and they play all this Garba and all those things. So this boy whom I was talking of, he was telling his friends, okay, come on, there is a program in ISKCON, very nice program, we will go there. So one of the friend asked, do girls come there for that program? He said, no, no, it is only for the boys. He said, come on, we will go for Dandiya. What is there in this con? So then all of them went to Dandiya. He also went because he was very new, and he thought, okay, friends are saying, and it is a fact, there won't be any girls, what I will do? That's why we have kept you in dark here, so you see only this thing here. Last time, when we conduct this Drishti program, you know, many times people ask this question, why are you keeping it only for the boys? Why there are no girls? That means a person who is asking this question, he has come for different reason here. We should ask him, what is your reason for coming here? So they said, there are no girls, nothing, no fun, come on, we will go to Dandiya. They went to Dandiya, and while he was playing, he was just 23, and while he was playing, suddenly he fell down, and then they took him to the hospital, where he was declared dead due to heart attack. Can you imagine? Death can come to a 23-year-old boy just by heart attack, who was just playing Dandiya. And I was thinking, if he would have come to the temple, even if he would have died in the temple, at least he would have got better place. Now, just by playing Dandiya, looking at girls, he left his body. And it is said that when a person, he leaves his body thinking of a woman, if a man leaves his body, he will become a woman in his next life. And if a woman leaves her body thinking of a man, she will become a man. So all of you are man now.
You can imagine what were you in your last life. Karmana daivana trena. This is all due to karma. So anyway, this is how it goes on. We go on taking the different bodies. So let's try to understand that how it actually works. Here you see two pictures. If one is attracted to eating non-vegetarian food, it is said that he will take the body of a tiger in his next life. If somebody is a glutton, you understand what is a glutton? You can see here this person in the left hand corner down. He's a glutton. Glutton means every time just wants to eat. Go on eating. No timing, no regulation. Whenever you find something, go on eating. So then in his next life, he will become a pig. You have seen a pig, how he walks. He will never have his head up, always down, searching for where is the food and you know what is his food. You see, to a pig, if you give very nice halwa made in ghee with dry fruits on that, if you keep a nice halwa plate and in the next plate you keep a special thing which he likes, a plate of stool, stinking. Of course for us it is stinking, for him it's a nice aroma. So if you keep a plate of stool, that too very nice, hot, fresh stool, just now delivered by some person. So if you keep these two plates in front of him, what will he take? Will he like to take halwa made in ghee with dry fruits, or he would like to take something fresh? He would definitely like to take fresh stool, because he is fond of it. He likes it. So that is why a person who is a glutton, he will be in his next life, he will definitely become a pig. I want to tell you a small story, although we are running short of time. Actually, we should have taken this seminar for maybe 6-7 days. 3 days are not enough. But still, just to give you an idea, we'll tell you a small story which comes to my mind at this point. That you know about Indra. So once Indra was cursed by his spiritual master to become a pig on the earth. And Indra, the king of heaven, he became a pig here. And when he came here, obviously, you know, when he becomes a pig, then he will have a female also, his nice wife, and then some children or whatever. So after some time in the heaven, then they saw there is no king. Everyone told his spiritual master that forgive him, go and bring him back. So then he came down and he saw Indra as a pig enjoying in his nice palace. Palace, you understand? Palace for a pig? Huh? What? It must be in a pit full of stool where all germs are there, and he's lying nicely enjoying the tall dirt and all those things where people are passing water and stool, and he is enjoying. That is his palace. So Indra was in such a palace, and then his guru came and he felt very pity. He said, come on Indra, we will go back. And Indra said, where will we go? He said, go back to the heaven. He said, oh, you want me to go back, but how can I go back? He said, why? What will happen to my beautiful wife? Indra had a beautiful wife also. Pig. And then Brihaspati said, come on, you are Indra. He said, okay, but what will happen to my children? And then Brihaspati saw there was a line of children behind him. And Indra was worried about them. So then Brihaspati tried explaining him. Finally Indra understood. Then Indra said, okay, I will come back in one condition. Said, what? Will I get such a nice pit like palace here, there in heaven? And Brihaspati said, no, such dirty things are not there in the heaven. He said, not there? Okay, will I get my plate of fresh, you know, there in the heaven? And Brihaspati said, no. How can you think of such things? You have become so dirty person. You don't get there. Indra said, if I don't go get these things there, I am not going to go back. I will stay here because I am very happy. How can I leave my wife? How can I leave my children? and how can I leave the enjoyment of eating fresh, fresh, fresh? You can understand. So then, this is the position. He is the king of a heaven and he is enjoying stool because his consciousness is covered. Similarly, we all are spiritual bodies, living entities, and we are supposed to enjoy the higher pleasure. And what are we doing here? We all are in this pit of stool where we think we are enjoying. So this thing, if we perform, we will get this kind of body. Similarly, if you are just trying to eat a lot, as I said, you will get a pig. If you are trying to have some sexual enjoyment, all the time you are thinking of some woman, you will become a dog. You can see here, a dog and that man faces look similar. If you try to expose your body, this may not be for you, but also for you, because nowadays I have seen the boys are exposing their body more than girls. Most of the films which I have heard from the people, I don't see the films now, but what the people say is that there is a particular person, a hero, who never wears a shirt in his picture. Who's this? See, all of you know very nicely. So he never wears a shirt. He thinks that, you know, this is the life. So for those who expose, or there are so many women who like to expose their body, feel that if persons are staring at them, that is the, you know, most happiest moment of my life. That is why you see in the colleges also nowadays, as I was explaining the other Sunday also, that girls are becoming taller but their dresses are becoming shorter. This is what is happening. So they want to expose their body so that others should see and get attracted and then become the slave. This is how we become the slave of our senses. We get attracted by this enjoyment, which is for few minutes, by the body of the opposite sex, and then we become slave of our senses. Bhagavatam explains very nicely. I am not going to tell you all that, otherwise you will run away. But how a person becomes slave of his senses, we will discuss some other time. So one who exposes his body will become tree in his next life. You have seen tree always standing without any clothes, exposing every part of his body. So we will become tree in the next life. So all those Miss Universes, Miss World are preparing for their next life. So we know where they are going. So how it happens? Let's try to understand now some technical points that how it happens. In 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna explains that as aroma is carried by the air, soul is also carried in the womb of the mother through the semen of the father. I think while giving the answer to one of the questions yesterday, I explained this, that how the soul gets transferred to a body. So as the aroma, you can see here, when something palatable, very nice, delicious food is kept in front of you, you get that aroma. Similarly, as aroma is carried over by the air, this soul is carried by this semen, and in a very subtle way, you can't see air is carrying aroma, but then still it is there. Similarly, we can't see that soul is being carried, but soul is there, and that's how it takes birth. As per its previous consciousness, yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tejatyante kalevaram. So if we die with divine consciousness, then we will attain divinity, which is the purpose of human life. Now here we see, if we perform certain actions which a person is doing, what will happen? I will tell you briefly what will happen in one sentence. The person who is sitting above the table, in his next life, he will be sitting below the table. You can see? who is sitting below the table and who is sitting above the table. So if we become like this, if we eat like this, then definitely we are also bound to become like this. And how the soul is shifted from one body to another is, as I explained, karmana daiva netrena. Under the direction of the material nature, the soul enters the semen of a male, and when the sexual intercourse takes place, the semen is transferred to the body of the female, and there the soul starts developing into a body. The covering starts, that external covering, and that's how the soul gets transferred. But very important things in this transfer is where the soul will be transferred, how the soul will be transferred, what kind of body the soul will take. This is all depends on karma. So let's try to understand the law of karma. Law of karma is, for every action there is an appropriate reaction. You cannot escape this law. This is very stringent law. You will have to face it. Even if you want to escape, you cannot. And it applies to everything. And as a human being, we should think before we perform any activity, so that we may not get the reaction of that. Because where there is a cause, there is an effect. And where there is an effect, there is again a cause. And we go on traveling in this cycle of cause and effect. We perform something, action, then reaction. And then reaction also is an action. Right? Do you understand this? Every action will have a reaction. But reaction also creates another reaction. Because reaction means we are performing some action. So that is why this cycle goes on. As a human being, we should think that our life is not just for eat, drink and be merry, as these persons. They feel that life is just for enjoyment. There was a very famous person, Charvak Muni. He propounded a theory. He said, Ranam kritva ghritam pive, yavat jivet sukham jivet. He says that Rinam Kritva, take loan. Rinam Kritva Ghritam Pivit, but have your food in ghee. Earlier, having food in ghee, now also, of course, is considered as opulence. Said, live opulently. Even if you have to take loan, don't worry. But live opulently. Rinam Kritva Ghritam Pivit. Yava Jivet Sukham Jivet. As long as you are living, live happily. Enjoy yourself. Deha Bhasmasya Bhutasya. This body is going to die one day, deha, kutah punaragmano bhavet. Who knows that when we will come back? Who knows that we will have to come back? So why to bother? Just enjoy. This is not human life. This is animalistic life, that if you think that you just have to enjoy. One should think that we are here, if we say like in India, if you want to be a perfect citizen, you will abide by the laws. If you want to be a criminal, you will not abide by the laws. Similarly, if you want to be a perfect human being, you will abide by the laws of nature. If you don't want to be, if you want to be a criminal, if you want to be punished, you will not be abiding by the laws of nature. So now let's see what kind of activities one can perform. There are three kinds of activities: karma, vikarma and akarma. Karma means pious activity, good activities. Vikarma means sinful activities, activities which are prohibited in the scriptures, like stealing, killing, troubling. And akarma means spiritual activities. Now in our session, we should try to understand these three kinds of activities very nicely. And then we will be able to understand that what kind of activities we should perform. So what I will do today is that, as I said, we are running short of time. So I will try to give you some examples of these three activities, and then in a chart we will try to understand the difference between these three activities. And there we will stop. After that, actually we have only 5 minutes, we will be taking 10 minutes extra today. Is it okay with all of you? You can say yes loudly if it's okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay. I'm sure it is not forced, no? Otherwise you'll say, anyway, I have to say yes. There's no choice. My destiny is like that. So we will, because it is very important, so just 10 minutes we will take extra today. So we will give you very fast, we'll go now quickly. I'll give you some examples of karma, some examples of vikarma, and some examples of akarma. And then you will understand that what happens if you perform these kind of activities. So let's go through them quickly. Giving food to the poor people is a pious activity, is a good karma. Distributing medicines to the patients, to those who can't afford it, or there are so many other activities which we can perform, you know, like people open orphanage, help the poor, help the old people. All these are pious activities. And what is the result of these pious activities? You got some wrong picture here? No, this is the result of pious activity. You may get a beautiful body like this Miss World. It's a very nice thing they have. They give title Miss World, so you miss everything. So, and also you may get a beautiful body, or you may get a very opulent position like this for person, a king. You may become a king. You may get lot of material opulences. So the result of, I gave you two examples, what are the activities, pious activities, and I'm also giving you what happens if you perform these pious activities. Now let's see, if you perform some sinful activities, what are sinful activities? Some examples are stealing. This person is trying to run away with someone else's property. Gambling, as per the scriptures, this is also a sinful activity. Murdering someone, killing, this is also a sinful activity. And in killing a cow is very, very sinful, very harmful for the humans. Why? Why killing cow is mentioned as an heinous activity? Because as per the scriptures, if you kill a cow, here you see in this picture, there is one change. The person who is killing the cow and the cow which is being killed, their faces are exchanged. What does that mean? In this life, if you will kill a cow, you will have to be killed for many, many lifetimes. You know how many lifetimes? As many hairs are there on the body of that cow. For that many lifetimes, you will have to be killed. And we kill the cow. We may not be killing directly, but if we go out and eat non-vegetarian food, if we eat beef, we are killing a cow. You may say, I am not killing, why should I get the result? No, scripture says, the person who brings up the cow, the person who sells that cow to someone for killing, the person who kills the cow, the person who brings that flesh from the market, the person who cooks that food, and the person who eats that food, all of them get the same reaction. So if we are eating just non-vegetarian food, we are getting reaction. We are going to discuss about non-vegetarian food later also, so I will not go in details. But also you may get some chronic diseases if you perform this kind of activities. Of course you will have to go to hell, that is definite, but you will have to suffer a lot, you will have to be killed, and you may get some diseases, you may be born as a poor person, you may not be a very beautiful person. All this can be due to your sinful activities. Let's try to understand that what happens if you perform a pious activity and what happens when you perform a sinful activity. When you perform a pious activity, it is like this person, suppose he is sitting in the office and he has got bored of working, continuously he has been working and now he is fed up. So he goes for a vacation and he goes there, enjoys with his friends for 10 days, 15 days, 20 days, whatever. But what happens after that? Finally, he has to come back and again the boss starts shouting and he has to work like an ass. So this happens. Similarly, if a person is engaged in some pious activities he may perform, then he may go to heaven for enjoying, or even he may become Brahma. Lord Brahma is also a living entity. We will explain this later. So he may also become Brahma. But what happens? Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, A Brahma Bhuvana Loka Punaravartino Arjuna. O Arjuna, even if you go to Brahma Loka, you will have to come back to this material world. So even if you become Brahma by your pious activity, ultimately you have to come down to this earth. Punaravartino Arjuna. Because it is like you have some bank balance. I'll give you an example. Suppose you earn lot of money and all this money you have accumulated and then you decide that I will go to Las Vegas. Have you heard of Las Vegas? It is heaven on earth. You get all kinds of enjoyment. Whatever you can think of, it is there. And there is no ban on that. No government is going to catch you. You can do anything you want. There are casinos, there are brothels, there are discos, there are pubs, whatever you can feel. So a boy, I know of a boy who is from Bombay. He took a lot of money with him and he went to Las Vegas just to enjoy. And what happens there? You start playing, you start gambling, you start enjoying, but after some time you finish your money and then you are kicked out. This person, he went to a casino, he started playing and he lost all his money. He didn't even have money to go back to his hotel room. So then what happens? Similarly, when we go to heaven,